just as you are before your God. Come, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Oh, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are, just as you are, to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, just as you are, to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, we come, just as we are, we come, just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as you are to worship, come, just as you are before your God, come, we
today. We come before your presence just as your word says, with thanksgiving in our hearts, into your courts with our praise. Right now, Lord, we desire more than anything else to be with you, to wait on you, where you renew our strength. So we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Perhaps the oldest song known to mankind is found in the ancient scripture, Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov Ki Leolam Chasdo. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. These words have been sung by marching armies across the land of Israel, and yet sung also by little children, praying grandmothers. Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov Ki Leolam Leolam Chasdo. Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov Ki Leolam Leolam Chasdo. Hodu Ladonai. Hodu Ladonai. Hodu Ladonai. Cristo, Odu Ladonai Kito, Hileolam, Leolam Hasto, Odu Ladonai, Odu Ladonai, Odu Ladonai Kito, Hileolam, Leolam Hasto. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us.
Crystalline.
Testing.
We give thanks.
Is it too loud?
Yes.
We give
it louder up here, probably.
We give thanks
because of that.
You are good.
majesty.
desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give. My soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Have your way in me. This is my desire. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound.
All right, warriors, you guys are the warriors. Raise your fists. Jewish power. You guys are the warriors. You made it. You made it through. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Welcome, everybody. Anybody watching us on live stream? Sorry we're late. We ask for your mercy. Hallelujah. But we're glad you're there if you're watching. What are we doing first, Miss Dawn? Praise the Lord. We're going to begin with it's going to make you want to dance.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
All your iniquities, he healeth all your Page 15 in your red book, please.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be his glorious name, whose kingdom is forever and forever.
And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your life, and with all your strength.
V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha uv'chol nafshecha uv'chol me'odecha v'hayu ha'divarim ha'ele asher nuchi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'divarta baham v'shivtecha b'veitecha uv'lechtecha v'derech uv'shach becha uv'kumecha Ukashar tam liot al yadecha v'hayu v'totafot bein einecha uchatav tam al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha.
And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your life and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as reminders on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and upon your gates. Amen. And please turn to page 109 as we continue with prayers, Yom Kippur prayers, and the closing of the gates are coming to an end. Page 109.
This service is called the Nila service. It's called the closing of the gates in Judaism. And for those of us who understand what that means, essentially it's all those who've been invited to the wedding feast are the guests are gathered, the fatted calf is prepared, the feast is ready, and the Lord is there with his people, and the gates will be closed. The end of this service symbolically, whether it may be fulfilled one day on this at this time, this hour, maybe, we don't know, but Yeshua tends to fulfill a lot of things on his feasts. And that's what this is about. So let's read. I'll read the leader part, and you can follow with the congregation, please. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever.
Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
One generation will praise your works to another, and we will proclaim your mighty acts.
I will speak of the splendor of your majesty and of your wondrous works.
And men will speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness.
They will glowingly recall your great goodness and will joyfully sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love.
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
All your works will praise you, O Lord. And your people will extol you.
They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power.
To make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the splendor and majesty of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And a redeemer shall come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. For my spirit that is on you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouths, nor out of the mouths of your children, nor out of the mouths of your children's children, says the Lord, from now on and forever.
Amen. Hallelujah. And now to page 113, Act for the Sake of.
Page 113, please. We can all read this together. God, your name is merciful. Your name is gracious. We belong to you, O Lord. Act for your name's sake. Act for the sake of your truth. Act for your covenant. Act for the sake of your greatness. Act for your majesty. Act for the sake of your Torah. Act for your glory. Act for the sake of your faithfulness. Act for your fame. Act for the sake of your kindness. Act for your goodness. Act for the sake of your unity. Act for your renown. Act for the sake of your instructions. Act for your sovereignty. Act for the sake of your eternity. Act for your mystery. Act for the sake of your power. Act for your excellence. Act for the sake of your justice. Act for your holiness. Act for the sake of your great compassion. Act for your glorious presence. Act for the sake of your friends who have died. Act for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Act for the sake of Moses and Aaron. Act for the sake of David and Solomon. Act for the sake of Jerusalem, your holy city. Act for the sake of Zion, your glorious residence. Act for the sake of the desolation of your temple. Act for the sake of the destruction of your altar. Act for the sake of the blood of your servants who were killed. Act for the sake of those slain for your holy name. Act for the sake of those slaughtered for your unity. Act for the sake of those who suffered for the sanctification of your name. Act for the sake of the children who study Torah. Act for the sake of the infants who are not yet accountable. Act for the sake of widows and orphans. Act for your sake, if not for ours. Act for your sake and deliver us. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. We trust you, Lord, our God. Act for the sake of Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
And we can continue with God. Oh, that's on page 75. But remember us. Just continue with remember us.
Okay, right below is remember us. Our God and God of our fathers, remember our father Abraham and the binding of his son Isaac, Jerusalem, your holy city, Messiah, the son of David, and all your people, and grant us deliverance and happiness, grace and kindness, mercy and life, peace on this Yom Kippur. The Lord is merciful and gracious, God, slow to anger and overflowing in kindness and truth. He shows his mercy to thousands, generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and clearing those who repent. The Lord said, I pardon as you have asked. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever trusts him should have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To as many as received him, to those who trusted in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Please be seated. Only 2 more hours before we eat. Our God and God of our fathers, have mercy on us. Let's pray. I'm going to share a little bit, but I want to pray. I'm going to switch to... you ready? Test 1, 2. Okay. Let's pray together. I hate sagging microphones. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for Israel. And if anybody has prayer needs, we'd be glad to anoint you. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now, and we pray. We pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray all that love her shall prosper, your word says, Lord. We love Jerusalem. We love your people Israel, Lord. And we thank you for that you prosper us, that you bless us spiritually as well as materially. Lord, we pray for the coming of the Messiah. Bo, Yeshua, bo. Come, Yeshua, come. We pray for the day that you come and establish your kingdom here on earth, Lord. We call upon you. Come, Yeshua. Come, Lord. Come and dwell on David's throne, in David's city, in the city of the great King, Lord. Come to Jerusalem, Lord, and set the captives free. Lord, bring your people home from the nations. Bring your people, the Jewish people, home according to the law of Jubilee, that you will restore the land to each tribe, to each member of each tribe, that you'll restore the land rightfully to each one in the year of Jubilee. Lord, you must bring us home. Bring us home, Lord. Bring your people, the chosen people, home, Lord. I pray in the name of Yeshua. Lord, we pray for the salvation of Israel. We pray that you would remove the scales from their eyes. Lord, remove the sin from the land. Purge the land of sin and remove the scales from the eyes of your people, Lord. This Yom Kippur, we pray that you would begin to reveal yourself more and more to your people in Israel and in the diaspora and the exile. Pray for the American Jewish people, Lord, that they would begin to see their Messiah, that they would have revelations of you, dreams of you, that you would come to them in their sleep, that you would appear to them, sit next to them in their cars, walk next to them when they walk, that they would see you and they would automatically know that Yeshua is Lord, that Yeshua is King, that they would repent and turn to you, even in places like California. Hallelujah. With God, all things are possible. Thank you, God. And we just thank you, Lord, that you, we thank you, we pray for your mercy for the people of Houston, Texas, who are rebuilding after the hurricane. And we pray for mercy for the people of Florida who are rebuilding after the hurricane, Lord, and fixing, restoring their lives and trying to pick up the pieces of broken, shattered lives and jobs. We pray, Lord, for those people who are jobless and those who are homeless, and those who are suffering without a paycheck for a month or more. We pray, Lord, for the people of the islands, for the people of Puerto Rico, of St. Martin, St. Thomas, and St. John, of Barbuda, and all the islands where people were decimated and by the storms, Lord. We just pray for them, that for your mercy and for your salvation, Lord. We pray, Lord, that they would turn to you in their distress, Lord, as people are dying, as they wait for help, Lord, that they would turn to Yeshua and call on you, that you would reveal yourself to them. We pray, Lord, also for the people, the earthquake victims of Mexico and their families, Lord. We pray for those who are healing, who are wounded in hospitals, and those whose families are wondering where their relatives and their loved ones are and still don't even know, Lord. We pray you comfort them and that they too would turn to you, Yeshua, not to a church, not to a statue, not to a candle, but to the God, the living God. They would turn to you. Lord, I pray for our president, the President of the United States. I pray, Lord, for his strength. I pray for his protection. I pray that you give your angels charge over him and guard him and his family from evil. I pray, Lord, that he accomplishes the things that he promised he would do, lowering taxes that he would accomplish. But mostly I pray that he would and not just fix health care and taxes, but that he would defeat Iran's nuclear capability, as you've shown me in your word in Daniel 8, that he would defeat Iran's nuclear capability, Lord. His tough talk seems to have silenced North Korea. And I thank you, Lord, that somebody's finally talked tough. And I thank you for our president who has stood up to the bully, and the bully has stood down. I thank you, Lord, we finally have a man, a real man in the White House, not a woman, not a wimp. I didn't mean a woman, but a wimp. Forgive me. But not a Casper Milquetoast in the White House, Lord. We have a man with some pants on. Thank you, God, that we have a tough president who calls it as he sees it. Forgive him, Lord, for his language. Forgive him for the things he says that are somewhat divisive. Forgive him for those things. But his word is mostly truth. And we pray for his strength, his health, and his leaders. I pray, Lord, that you help him drain the swamp. I pray, Lord, that you would help our president and his staff, that you would help them to overcome the swamp and defeat the swamp while he's in office, Lord. I know that there were kings of Israel who tried to tear down the high places and were not completely successful. I pray you give our president success in tearing down the high places in Washington. We just say to the powers and principalities of darkness in this country, we bind you. We bind you. You have no power. We break every curse that you have spoken over us, every curse you've spoken over the people and over this land for the sake of greed and the sake of power and the sake of money. We break your power in the name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua. We bind you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. We just call you null and void and weak. We expose every false principality and power of darkness in Washington, D.C. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we bind your tongues. We bind every word. We shine a light on your evil schemes. We shine a light on every criminal deed and every act that's been committed in Washington, D.C. and beyond, in every state government and every state capital and every city. Lord, bring all these criminals to justice. Let our Justice Department and our Attorney General and the FBI start prosecuting those who have broken our laws, who have broken the trust of our people, who have killed our soldiers, who have killed multitudes of our people, and who have betrayed the trust of the American people and the confidence that we had sending our leaders to govern us. Lord, send us righteous governors, righteous leaders, righteous senators, righteous mayors, righteous congressmen, righteous heads of departments, Lord, righteous chiefs of police, righteous generals in the army, Lord. Thank you, God. Hear our prayer, O Lord, and defeat our enemies, Lord. We war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness and high places. And we just pray right now for your power to be released. I loose your power in this nation. I loose your power to deliver, to destroy and tear down the altars and the high places in this country. I destroy them. I tear them down in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Hallelujah and amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if anybody needs prayer, I'm going to speak a little bit, but if anybody needs prayer, I'll anoint right now. And if you just come up and you need prayer, and I'll ask Don to just play something. If anybody comes up, if anybody wants prayer, I will pray for you. I've got the fiery hand tonight. The fiery hand is back. The fiery hand has made another showing at the congregation. Okay, we'll pray for Brenda. Somebody want to stand in for her? Okay. What are we praying for her operation? Okay. All right. And Wendell, I may need you. Seriously, life, that they would take life seriously, their studies, they would do their homework, they would obey Carol in the name of Yeshua, that they would obey her right now. I thank you, Lord, for your just a touch of your anointing on Carol, Lord. Strengthen her with your power. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. You do it. Heal that family, Lord. Touch that family. Touch that family, Lord. Right now. Right now. Touch from God. Don't walk, run.
Holy is the name.
Don't be shy.
Holy is the last for sinners slain. By him the deed was done. Redemption now.
Lord, just anoint Xavier that he for wisdom. Wisdom, and that he makes the right choices in his life, Lord. That you give this boy wisdom, and that he makes the right choices in his life right now. In the name of Yeshua, give him wisdom. Help him to make the right choices and do the right things, Lord. Make the right choices, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, give him success in life. Give him success in life, Lord. In the name of Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua, right now, Lord, Let your fire fall on Xavier, Lord. Touch! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Release your anointing on him, Lord. Release your anointing right now, Lord. Yes. Overtake his life, Lord. Overtake his life. In the name of Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody want to stand in for Brenda? She's going in for surgery. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just anoint Diane. We pray for Brenda, Lord. We pray for Brenda as she goes in for toe surgery. We pray for a successful surgery. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would have quick healing, that the doctor's hands would be your hands, that the doctor's thoughts would be your thoughts. We pray, Lord, for a successful surgery in the name of Yeshua and a successful, quick recovery for Brenda, Lord. She has much to do. We pray for a quick recovery in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As Diane stands in her place, we just speak healing over Brenda, Lord. Heal that toe. Heal that toe in the name of Yeshua. Right now. Right now. Heal. Right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
He pleads.
Thank you, God.
For you.
Yes. Touch.
Who are needy.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Yeshua's name.
To let him be. Love of God.
Thank you. Lord, just anoint Billy that he has a path to choose.
Can you see?
A right path or a wrong path. Help him to choose the right path, Lord. Give him wisdom. I pray for wisdom, Solomonic wisdom for this boy. That he would do well in school, make the right choices, that he would obey his teachers, that he would obey his aunt, and that he would do what's required of him, that he would behave. In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Lord. Help him to choose right. Light from darkness. In the name of Yeshua. Amen,
Billy.
Oh, okay. Lord, we just pray for his tooth. Lord, that if it's a baby tooth, that you just take it out in your time, and that you pray for that you give him good teeth, Lord. You give Billy good teeth. That he doesn't need braces, that he has good, strong teeth, and that he takes care of them. And Lord, while he's here, I pray for Joshua in his place. I pray for healing for Joshua tonight. He's at home, but you touch Joshua Bell. Touch his body. Heal his body and give him strength, Lord, right now. Strengthen Joshua and restore him to health, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Lord. Touch! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on up, Carolyn. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. The cries of this mother for her son, Philip, Lord, right now, Lord. Bring him back to you, Lord. Bring him back to you, Lord. Bring the prodigal son home, Lord. Bring the prodigal son home, Lord. And restore. Restore the relationship, Lord. Restore the relationship.
He did not.
Yes, God. Right now, right now. Thank you, Lord.
And center you. Touch. And your thank you, Lord.
You do it. You do it. You are the healer.
My
you are the restorer.
I will
yes.
Show.
Yes, Lord. Hear
I'll
her
be
cries.
Your
You've heard
strength.
Her cries. You've heard
I'll
her
be
cries.
Your shield.
Right now, Lord. Bring
I'll
Philip back now. Bring him back home. Bring the prodigal son home right now. In the name of Yeshua, right now. We thank you, Lord, that this child grows up healthy and strong. Lord, we thank you that Patty would do what you were asking her to do, what you're requiring of her, Lord. We just anoint her in the name of Yeshua right now. Lord, right now, Lord, let the anointing of God, the anointing come upon her right now in the name of Yeshua. Right now. Touch,
and I will praise
power.
Him, for he
power.
Has given me abundant righteousness, and he is faithful to his word. The God of Abraham,
anybody else?
He is a living God, he is a saving God.
Anyone else?
And
hallelujah.
I will praise
saw a man
him,
get out of a wheelchair
he
a month
has given
ago.
Me abundant
Wendell's back's been healed. Miraculous healings. Hallelujah. Seeing cancer heal. Thank you, Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. I take healing. Yes, I receive it. In the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Is there tissues? Did you? I felt it tonight. Woo! Thank you, God. All right. You know, if that seems strange to some of you and you're not used to that, read the Gospels. Read the Bible. God does some pretty funky stuff in the Bible. All right, I want to just briefly share a little bit about the ways of God, part two. Let's just pray for the word, then we're going to conclude the service, and we'll go down and eat, okay? Hallelujah. Please turn 1 Chronicles 13. If you were here this morning, or if you watched on video, we talked about the fact that there's a way to do things God's way. And, you know, somewhere, would somebody look up the scripture that says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its way leads to death. Would somebody look up that verse for me? I think it's one of the Proverbs. Today we were talking about the ways of God and the ways of God that we talked in relationship to this feast. And it was a very simple message, really, that God has given us 8 appointed times that are his appointments. We talked about how God entrusted the oracles of God to the Jewish people. If you read Deuteronomy, and Paul says that in Romans chapter 3, that God entrusted the oracles of God, that means the Torah, the prophets, and the writings to the Jewish people. So these are the feasts of the Lord, not the feasts of the Jews, but they're entrusted to the Jews. He entrusted them to the Jewish people to be custodians, and that's what makes Jews chosen. We're not better than anybody else. There's no distinction between Jew or Gentile as far as, you know, God loves us all. He loves Jew, he loves Gentile. But we have different roles. My wife has a different role than I do, and I have a different role than she does. And I can't do what she did behind that piano, and she doesn't do what I do up here. Amen. She doesn't read Hebrew as well either. But she is a lot prettier than me. Good word, Wendell. So so we talked about the things. So God commands us to gather on the feast, on all the feasts. And since he entrusted the oracles to the Jews, I believe that he wants people to come to the house of a Jew. Amen. To celebrate the feast together. He wants Jew and Gentile. The temple was a pattern of that. His temple in Jerusalem, where Jew and Gentile in the court of the Gentiles, they came together. Everybody came to the house of a Jew, and the high priest led the worship, and the Jews were the priests. And people from the nations came, and you know what? People are going to Jerusalem right now. They're flocking for the Feast of Tabernacles next week. You Google that, the Feast of Tabernacles. You'll see tens of thousands of Christians from all around the world. You won't be able to get a hotel room. Tens of thousands of Christians from all over the world going to the house of a Jew to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles because they've caught on to at least one feast. And now I'm trying to catch them on to all 7 other ones. That God doesn't want the nations just to go up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. He wants the nations to come into the Messianic synagogues together and celebrate. You know, I couldn't do what I do. If I thank God for Richard Baker for inviting me over to Grace Point, and to minister with him and to pray, and then inviting me over to the mall for services. And man, the power of God, and God raised a man out of a wheelchair. People got healed. People got set free. People got delivered. And it was Jew and Gentile ministering in the power of God together. Amen. Together. And that's the key. And I need the churches. And I need pastors who want to work with me and who want to respect me for who I am, and I respect them for who they are, because we need the church. John 10:14 says, Jesus, Yeshua, was talking to his disciples, and he was talking to Jewish disciples. And he said to them, I have sheep from another flock that you know not of, from another fold, and I must bring them too. And together they shall be one flock with one shepherd. Together. And he was talking about the Gentiles. He was talking about the church. He was saying that one day there's this group, and you don't know what they're called, you don't know who they are, but they're not Jewish, and some of them may have Jewish. You may have Jewish ancestry somewhere back, okay, but for the most part, everybody can't be Jewish or there wouldn't be any Gentiles, right? Can I get an amen? If everybody was Jewish, we wouldn't have any Gentiles. I mean, there was Ham, Shem, and Japheth in the Bible, right? Shem are the Semitic peoples, and Japheth and Ham aren't. Okay? That's two-thirds, at least two-thirds of the world's population are not Jewish. So if you come from Shem, God bless you. But you know what? Paul said, I count it as dung. My connection, my physical connection to the Jewish people, Paul said he counts it as dung in comparison to knowing the Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. Genealogy and or it's a good thing. Is it bad to be Jewish? No. The oracles of God were entrusted to the Jews. The mission of God, the Torah, was entrusted to the Jews. The feasts were entrusted to the Jews. Why? Because they're in the Torah. They're in the Torah, and God entrusted the Torah to the Jews. So that's one of the things we learned today, is that the feast is one of the things that God has given to the custody of the Jews, and that's why the church doesn't celebrate them. I didn't get to finish my point today, but when Constantine and Eusebius and the bishops kicked the Jews out of the church in the 4th century, you know what else they kicked out? They kicked out the Sabbath. They kicked out Yom Kippur. They kicked out Passover. They kicked out all the things that were in the early church. That they kicked them out, and they replaced them with pagan holidays that were Christianized, like Christmas and Easter. They thought they were doing it themselves. It was God. Just like I said yesterday when we read 1 Kings 11 and 12 about how Jeroboam, the kingdom was divided because Rehoboam was prideful and he taxed the people and he was tough on the people. He was harsh, and God sent a man, Jeroboam, who was a power hungry guy. He was charismatic. He wanted to be king. He convinced the people to turn against the house of David, and God said, "Don't stop. Don't fight." The people of Judah, of David's kingdom, wanted to fight Israel, the northern kingdom. They wanted to go to battle. God said, no, this is of me. This is of me. So if people think Donald Trump is divisive, he may be, but it's of God. If Donald Trump is divisive, it may be, but it's of God. Read 1 Kings 12 and you'll see for yourself. So when the church split from the Jewish people and the times of the Gentiles really entered into its fullness, God, it wasn't them. They thought they were doing away. Constantine thought he was doing away with all the Jewish things, the Sabbath and Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits and Shavuot and all these things. It wasn't Constantine. It was God saying, I've entrusted these things to the Jews, and if you're going to have nothing to do and you're going to disrespect my people and be arrogant and prideful and murderous to my people, I'm going to take away the things that I've entrusted to the Jewish people from you. Get that under your what? Get that under your belt. That Constantine didn't even do it. He did it, but God did it through him. God took it away from the church. He took the good things away. You know, you've seen me teach the Passover, and how I say how the Passover table, at the end of the message, I say, does this this table looked unfamiliar at the beginning. It doesn't look so unfamiliar now, does it? Well, that's because God took all that stuff away from the church because the church didn't want it. God's not going to give us what we don't want unless it's punishment. Okay? He's not going to give us good things. If the majority of the people want a king like they wanted Saul, God will give them Saul. Amen? And if the people don't want Passover, and if the people don't want Yom Kippur, if the people don't want the things that will teach about prophecy and the end times and the Messiah, he won't give it to them because they're good things, and God won't cast his pearls before swine. Oh, that good preaching, Rabbi. Where's my Mary Brady? She's up in heaven saying, Hallelujah, Brother Joe. I'd have to love you, Mary. Thank you, Lord. Doing things God's way. So we learn that the feasts
they're entrusted to the Jews. They're the feasts of the Lord, but God has entrusted them to the Jews, and this is the first time in history, because I came here 18 years ago, and there was the Church of God, and there was the Church of God, worldwide Church of God. They were celebrating feasts, and there was the Seventh-day Adventists, and they were doing the Sabbath, and there were the Seventh-day Baptists, and I said, Lord, you got all these different groups doing feasts and Sabbaths. What do you need me here for? Why did you send me to a place where there's no Jews? And he finally showed me why I'm here, because he needs for that two sheepfolds to come together. Amen. And there has to be a messianic Jewish community. And there people have fought us, and they have battled us, and we've had splits, and they've left us, and they've tried to duplicate us. But the point is, there has to be for the church and the messianic Jewish community to come together. Why? Because Yeshua prayed that we would be one, echad, perfected in unity. John 17 says that we would be perfected in unity, not one like one church or one messianic community, but that one new man would be like me and Don, and Jew and Gentile, perfected in unity, like a marriage. That's what God is after, the messianic community. And if you're not Jewish, don't feel bad about being here. You're taking the seat of somebody else who didn't come, and God will bless you for it. He says in his word that he'll take people from the nations and make them priests in his kingdom. He says he'll take some, he'll choose some from the nations and make them priests in his kingdom when he comes. So there's much blessing in being part of a messianic congregation and not being of Jewish descent. And we welcome non-Jews. Some messianic congregations do not. I always have, and I don't discriminate. I think it is without the messianic community, it is largely our work to convince the world, the church, to do its job, which is Romans 11 says to provoke the Jews to jealousy, as much as many in the church, not all, are not focusing on the Jewish people and helping them find their Messiah. They're provoking the Jewish people throughout the ages. The church has provoked the Jews, but not to jealousy. They've just been provoked. It's time for us to come together. And this is the first time in history when the Jewish believing community, called the Messianic Jewish Community, can come together with the believing remnant of the church, not the building, but the people, and that Yeshua's prayer can be answered. This is the first time when the group of the Gentile, that other fold that Yeshua was talking about, can come together with the Jewish fold of believers, and we can be one, and that the world, the greatest revival the world has ever seen or known, is going to happen in this generation. I see it's coming. And the more churches get together with messianic synagogues, not just me and other messianic synagogues, churches here, but all over. As we get together with churches working together, putting our hands to the plow. I'm not saying that people, maybe, you know, listen, if I was a threat to the church, we'd have 5,000 people here. We've been here for 18 years. So far, we haven't put the church out of business, have we? Amen? Why are pastors afraid of me? Why are so many pastors afraid of me? Why are they intimidated by a messianic, by a Jew? What are they, you know, when I went to the University of Vermont, where Ben and Jerry's ice cream was first made, and they were just starting out when I went to college in 1984. They had just started a couple years earlier. And they got big pretty quick. They had a little factory, and they started making ice cream. And Häagen-Dazs tried to put them out of business, owned by Pillsbury. So Ben and Jerry's used to have T-shirts. What's the doughboy afraid of? What's the doughboy afraid of? And you know what? They were right. The doughboy needed to be afraid, because Ben and Jerry's not only single-handedly took market share from Häagen-Dazs, but they began a process of other companies making specialty ice cream, and Häagen-Dazs is just, I don't know when the last time I ate Häagen-Dazs. I used to like rum raisin, but you couldn't really get drunk on the rum, that's for sure. But anyway, That's just a flavor. Praise the Lord. So what's the doughboy afraid of? What's the church afraid of? What are the pastors afraid of? There's nothing to fear. But just as it was in the days of Yeshua, the rabbis were afraid of the Messianic Jews. Just as it was in the days of Yeshua, the majority of the rabbis were afraid of the Messianic Jews. Yeah, I'm the Passover guy. I'm the guy that churches will invite to do a Passover once a year and think, okay, we've done our Jewish thing for the year. You know what Dan Juster says? Dan Juster says, he teaches that churches, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto the salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He says the churches should give 1/10 of their tithe to the Jewish people first. The churches should give 1/10 of their tithe, of their tenth, 1/10 of a tenth to the Jewish people. The first part. To the believing, to the Messianic Jewish community. This is not my word. This is Dan Juster's teaching. And I agree with him, though. I think, look at us. We're puny. We're scattered. We're small. Many of us are renting. Thank God we have our own building. But many Messianic congregations are renting and sharing buildings with churches, or renting in industrial parks. They need support from the church. You know, without us, there will be no world revival. And if this community doesn't support us, we'll go away. We will. If this community does not support us. Do you know that the Roman centurion in Capernaum, he built the synagogue. And he was the man with the greatest faith in the Bible. Please make it for two. Just kidding. That's what my father used to say. The Roman centurion built the synagogue in Capernaum. Why Capernaum? I mean, we're talking about, that's like building the Messianic synagogue in Bristol, you know? Why would a prominent Roman centurion spend his money building a synagogue? Because I'll tell you why. The Messiah was in town. The Messiah was in town. He worshipped that Messiah. And he wanted to build a very beautiful synagogue. And when you go to Capernaum, you'll find the remnants of a city that's been torn down, but the most beautiful building that's left in remnants of the city is the synagogue that the Roman centurion built. And if you read, I think it's Luke chapter 7, you'll read about that Roman centurion. And Yeshua, when other Gentiles asked him to heal people, he said to the woman, he said, "It's not fitting to give the children's food to the dogs under the table." And the woman said to him, "Lord, even the dogs will eat the crumbs from under the master's table. Even the dogs will eat the crumbs." He wasn't so eager to heal the Gentiles. But when this Roman centurion came and said, "My servant," and the leaders of the synagogue came to Yeshua and said to him, they said, "Rabbi, this man's servant is sick. He built our synagogue." Yeshua made a beeline for this man's house. And the centurion stopped him and said, "No, Lord, no, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. I'm not worthy. Just say the word and it'll be done." And it was done. And when the centurion got home, he asked, "What time was this my servant healed?" And it was the very time that he had met with Yeshua. And Yeshua said, he marveled. It says he marveled at this man. He said, "Greater faith I have not seen in all Israel." This was a non-Jew, a Gentile, a killer, a soldier, a centurion who had found the Messiah. If a Roman centurion, and Roman centurions were tough, they were a rough group. You wouldn't want to mess with Roman centurions today. You know, if you want to sick somebody on Antifa, go sick a bunch of Roman centurions. They'll take care of them. And not just Roman centurions, Roman legions. They were brutal. They were a brutal, 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 brutal bunch. Murderous, deadly. They crucified Yeshua. They would have murdered all the people on Masada. They destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed Galilee in 135 and the Bar Kokhba revolt. They were a brutal people. But when they repented, God forgave them just like anybody else. Praise God. So we learn three or four things. One, that the feasts are the Lord's, but he entrusted them to the Jews. He calls us to have a sacred solemn assembly, a mikre kodesh. Means to come and gather in the house of a Jew. And around here, I'm the guy that God sent here 18 years ago, and I stand here before you. And how do I know? Because I never would have come here. I didn't live here. I lived in the city up north, and I was very content to be in the city. I was very content to be in Boston. God dragged me here by the scruff of my neck and dragged my wife and made her give up a job flying DC-10s for Northwest Airlines to come here. So don't tell... You have to wrestle me to tell me that God didn't put me here. Okay? I can't name another Jew that's been called here to do what I do. I can't name... Can you? If you can, you let me know about it. I know Andy, Rabbi Andy in Asheville, 100 miles away. I know Rabbi Mike down in Knoxville. God called him there. I know the rabbi in Charlotte. I can't think of his name right now. I know the rabbi in China Grove, Yossi Wentz. I know the rabbi in Greenville, Todd Lesser. But within 100 miles of here, I don't know of any other Jewish rabbi for Jesus. So number two, God says, go have a solemn assembly in the house of the Lord, and specifically where the feasts with the Jewish people. Do it with the Jews. You won't see Yom Kippur celebrated in churches today. Does anybody know of a church celebrating Yom Kippur? I don't. Okay, number three. God says these are his appointed times. These are his appointments to be with his people, Jew and Gentile. That means he's going to show up. He promises to show up for his eight feasts. Does he show up on Sunday? Sure he does. Does he show up on Tuesday? Sure he does. But like I said earlier this morning, you can't make 4th of July into Veterans Day. You can't make Columbus Day into Mother's Day. You can't make... Christmas into Halloween, and you can't turn Sabbath into Sunday. You can't turn Sabbath into Sunday. And we went through that in Matthew 28. You don't know when the Sabbath is? Read Matthew 28, verse 1 and 2. You'll find out when the Sabbath is. Very clear, very clearly distinguished. Okay? So that's what we touched on, just the basic things that God, and their safety. Lastly, I believe that the feasts are like an ark. These feasts are like an ark of protection. And that when you're in the right place at the right time, in the will of God, doing what his word says, and not by the letter of the law, but by the Spirit, not by the letter, but by the Spirit, there's safety. I wouldn't want to be out there on this day. It's Yom Kippur. I wouldn't want to be at a ball game. I wouldn't want to be at a ball field. I wouldn't want to be in the mall. I wouldn't want to be crossing the street. I wouldn't want to be walking downtown Bristol or downtown Johnson City. Because God forbid, I don't know what could happen if I was disobeying my Lord on his holy day. A car could run over you. A building could fall on you. A light pole could fall on you. You just don't know. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just telling you the way I see it. There's safety in being in the house of the Lord on his holy day. And more people ought to be here. You know, there's another chance next week with Sukkot to come to the feast of the Lord. And I invite you, if you're watching and you haven't come, I invite you to come to the feast. Because if you don't come to these feasts, you know, these feasts are a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. They're all a picture of God's different angles of the marriage supper and getting ready. This one is about closing the gates so that all the people who are here are a picture of the people that are in the house ready for the marriage, in the wedding, in the banquet hall. This feast is about being in the banquet hall, getting ready for the king to come in and celebrate the feast. And you know what? The gates are going to close in a few minutes at sundown. The gates close. That's what this feast is about. And if you're not in the hall, you're not getting in. You're going to be in outer darkness. Is that where you want to be? Well, that's what the parable in Matthew 22 says, the parable of the wedding feast. The feasts of the Lord are wedding feasts. They're rehearsals of wedding feasts. And if you don't come to the Lord's rehearsals for his feast, for his wedding feast, if you don't come to his rehearsal dinner, are you going to come to the real thing? Or are you going to be in outer darkness? I don't know. I'm just saying. Okay. So there's a way to do things and there's a way not to do things. Let's read here in 1 Chronicles 13. Then David consulted with the captains of the thousands and the hundreds, even with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it's from the Lord our God, let us send everywhere to our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, also to the priests and the Levite who are with them in their cities with pasture lands, that they may meet with us. Let us bring back the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul. So he thought he was doing a good thing, right? Bring back the ark of the covenant to Jerusalem, bring it back, and as they didn't do in the days of Saul, when it was often in the hands of the Philistines they thought they were doing a good thing. But they said, if it seems right, everybody say that, if it seems right, if it seems good to you, okay? We do a lot of things that seem good, don't we? Anybody find that scripture that said, it's, can you read it out loud? Was it? There's a way that seems right to a man. I'll just say, oh, you got it?
There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof endeth in death. End thereof in death. Okay? It's not about what feels good. It's not about what seems right to a man. It's about what God says. It's about what God says. And what David's way here ended in death. Let's read on. He said, verse 3, and let us bring back the ark of our God, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. There's a way that seems right to a man that endeth in death. So David assembled all Israel together from Shechor of Egypt even to the entrance of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. David and all Israel went up to Baalah, that is to Kiriath Jearim, which belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord, who is enthroned above the cherubim, where his name is called. They carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab. Oh, it's everything sounding lovely, isn't it? And Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart, and David and all Israel were celebrating before God with their might. With their might, they were celebrating before God. They were worshiping God with all their might. King David, even with songs, with lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark because the oxen nearly upset it. The anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, so he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before the ark. He died before the ark of God. Then David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and he called that place Perez Uzzah to this day, the breakthrough of Uzzah. Then David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God home to me? So David did not take the ark with him to the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite, who happened to be a Levite. Everybody say he happened to be a Levite. Say, Obed-Edom the Gittite happened to be a Levite. Obed-Edom the Gittite happened to be a Levite. Okay? And in the house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed the family of Obed-Edom with all that he had. Praise the Lord. What was David's mistake? He didn't read the Word of God. He did not read the Word of God. And because he didn't read the Word of God, which says only the Levites can carry the Ark of the Covenant, and Uzzah wasn't a Levite. And Uzzah went and touched the ark, and God said only the Levites can touch the ark and carry it. And God struck Uzzah dead. And so of best laid plans of mice and men, we can think and plan and want and think in our heads that what we're doing is good and right and true, even King David. And it can be, its end thereof is death. Its end thereof is death. Because it's not what's in our heads, Steph Curry, or all the Christians in the NFL. It's not what's in our hearts. It's not what's in our heads. It's what's in God's Word. It's what's in the Word of God. Amen. Christian NFL players who took a knee and dissed our president who didn't read 1 Peter 2 last week, if you're watching, read 1 Peter 2. Honor the king and honor the governor. And even if God raised, give, if you even have to bear up under a harsh, somewhere between the king and the governor is a president. And even if the president is harsh, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13, read on down, tells you, It doesn't curry favor with God if you have done good under a good leader and you've done a good thing. But if you bear up under harsh leadership and you bear up under mean, harsh leadership, and you do what's right, it curries favor with God. Praise God. Unless the leader tells you to jump off a bridge or do something that's contrary to the Bible, do it. Do it. All right. So let's go to chapter 15. Now David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. So he didn't give up. He was a little bummed out about Uzzah, but he didn't give up. Then David said, "No one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites." Ooh! David read the Word of God. Praise God. David read the Word of God. Let's go back to, hold your place and go to Numbers 15. Numbers 4:15, I'm sorry. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy objects and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is to set out after that, the sons of Kohath shall come to carry. Kohath was a priest, he was a Levite, to carry them, so that the Kohathites were Levites, so that they will not touch the holy objects and die. These are the things in the tent of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. And one of them was the Ark of the Covenant. So apparently Uzzah wasn't a Kohathite. And if you read down in verse 17, then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Do not let the tribe of the families of the Kohathites be cut off from among the Levites." You see, so it was the tribe of Kohath, of the tribe of Levi, which were the ones permitted to touch the ark. So David had to find some Kohathites. Everybody say, David had to find some Kohathites. David had to find some Kohathites to carry the ark so that they could bring it back. So it says, verse 4 of 1 Chronicles 15, David gathered, verse 2, then David said, "No one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the God chose them to carry the ark of God and to minister to him forever, forever. And David assembled all Israel at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place which he had prepared for it. David gathered together the sons of Aaron and the Levites." And then, isn't it amazing? It says, of the sons of Kohath, amazingly, verse 5, Uriel the chief and 120 of his relatives, and then all the other different members of the priesthood of the Levites. And verse 11, it says, then David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and it goes on. And verse 12, and said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' households of the Levites. Consecrate yourselves, you and your relatives, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel." And I'm going to just tell you, they brought the ark with dancing and with harp and lyre, and they did it according to the pattern that God gave them in the Torah. Amen? They did it God's way. And that is this message tonight. What we do for God, we can have best laid plans of mice and men. We can think we're doing good. We can think we're honoring God. We can think we're pleasing to God, and that the because of the desires of our heart. But God, just because it's in our heart to do something, doesn't mean we're doing it God's way. Just because we're doing something that feels good and seems right to us, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it is not God. And Christians watching, you need to read this book and start realizing that lines are being drawn in this country, and lines of right and wrong are being drawn. And if you're not reading this book and you don't know what it says, or you don't believe what the Word says about abortion, about gay marriage, about authority, about rebelliousness, that all authority is from God, Romans 13, and there is no authority, no governing authority that is not from God, and all the authorities that we have are given to us from God. Amen. The line is being drawn in this country. There is no gray, except on my suit. There's only black and white. And there is no race in this country. We're all from Noah. There is no race. Race is a myth. We're all descended from Noah. There's only Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and the descendants of Noah in the earth. We're all ultimately related distantly. Amen? We're human. We're the human race. And all lives matter. Not just black lives matter. White lives matter. Jewish lives matter. Puerto Rican lives matter. Ecuadorian lives matter. French lives matter. Israeli lives matter. Everybody's lives matter. And God never said, play the victim. God never said, be a victim. Have a pity party. Complain to the world. The Jewish people are the last people on the earth. We've been destroyed and decimated throughout the centuries. You don't see Jewish people going around having pity parties. Oh, woe is me. I make $15 million a year running the ball for the NFL, and I get picked on. Police brutality. Oh! No, you see Jewish people doing the best they can in a world that hates them, and not complaining about it, but telling the world, never forget. And you see Jewish people, that we wouldn't have cell phones. We wouldn't have computer chips without the Jewish people. We wouldn't have, oh yeah, you want to boycott, divest, and what's the third thing? Sanction Israel? Well, you throw out your cell phone and your computer. Start by doing that, because you wouldn't have either of them without the Jewish people. You wouldn't have medicine like Perrigo or that other company. What's that? It starts with a T. That makes drugs. There's Perrigo and there's one other one. Teva, T-E-V-A. Two of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world that make your, generic drugs that you go when you go to the pharmacy. They're made in Israel or India. And let me tell you, I'd rather take drugs made in Israel than India or France. You wouldn't have it if there was no Israel. And there's many other things. You wouldn't have a cure for polio if it wasn't for the Jews. There's a lot of things you wouldn't have. A lot of marvels. You wouldn't have had all the comedians. You wouldn't have had Mel Brooks, and you wouldn't have had the Marx Brothers, and you wouldn't have had Jerry Seinfeld. And you can just name the names of all the celebrities. You know, You wouldn't have had the Word of God. You wouldn't have had Michael Douglas in Hollywood. You wouldn't have Kirk Douglas. They're Jews. You wouldn't have had who else was a famous Jew that nobody knew about? Was it Cary Grant? I'm trying to think. There's so many Jewish people. Albert Einstein. Who else? Joan Rivers. Yes, amen. Michael Landon was Jewish. Lauren Green was Jewish. Praise God. Lauren Green. Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. You look back at Jewish actors and the people who've influenced this country throughout the culture of this country in the last 120 years, you'll be amazed at the impact that the tiny 1 to 2% of Jewish people in the United States has had in this country. Mark Zuckerberg has created the largest media company in the world called Facebook and whatever other companies they own. Instagram, Facebook, largest media company in the world, created by a Jew at Harvard 10, 12, 13 years ago, and it's become that big, that fast. It's amazing. It's amazing. And Facebook, well, I won't go into that. But anyway, I think you get my point. We worship God according to the Spirit, not according to the letter, but we don't forsake His Word. And if what you do, God, the lines are being drawn. God's using Donald Trump to draw those lines in this country. The words of Donald Trump are turning children against parents, parents against children, children, friends against friends. It's dividing the nation. And it's God doing it, because God is making people choose sides. Are you going to choose right? Are you going to choose life? Are you going to choose death? Are you going to choose life, Neil Gorsuch? Are you going to choose death? Which side do you come down on? You going to drain, choose the swamp? Or are you going to drain the swamp? And it's not just about politics. I'm just saying that's how God's using our president. And it isn't always pretty. And the words aren't, I don't condone all the words that come out of the mouth either. But I'm not his judge. God is. So it's now time to conclude this service and this new service, the closing of the gates. So I'm going to call Dawn to come up and thank you for coming tonight. We're going to have a great break the fast, and we're going to go eat in a couple minutes. But before we do, we're going to blow the great shofar. Now, I've talked about the rapture. This is the feast that represents the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. And this is the feast that the end of judgment. This is God's season of judgment. So if you wonder why all these hurricanes, earthquakes, and things are happening, and wars, nation rising against nation are happening right now, going on in the world right during this season, it's because this is God's season of judgment. And He uses judgment to purify His people. And judgment begins with the house of God. And you may not know it, but this after the solar eclipse, a few days later, came Hurricane Irma, which in Germanic, Hurricane Harvey, which in Germanic means battle or war. And Harvey hit the Corpus Christi area of Texas. That's the part of the United States God chose for Harvey to hit. Corpus Christi, Texas, the body of Christ. Judgment begins with the household of God. Judgment begins with the household of God. And if how does it go? Here. Praise the Lord. Judgment begins with the household of God. 1 Peter 4:17. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? If Hurricane Harvey was God's judgment on the household of God, what will it be like for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Praise God. It's been a great feast. We've seen marvelous things. We've seen the salvation of a precious child here. And We're thrilled. God has blessed us and blessed one of our families this weekend, and God has moved mightily. Have you enjoyed it? Yes. Praise the Lord. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. And as I've taught, you know, many false teachers are teaching, and I believe, I'll say they're false teachers. They're teaching that the rapture takes place on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not about the rapture. It's 100 blasts of the shofar. The rapture is one blast of the shofar. And it's interesting that It says in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15:50, it says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the imperishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality at the last trumpet." Well, brothers and sisters, and God's pattern in his feast, the last trump is at the end of this festival. And so we're going to blow it. Don's going to blow it for you. And I'm going to give the call, which means... Let me read that. Page 115, please. At the bottom, "The Lord, He is God." This specific phrase was first used when Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet, called Ahab and the people of Israel to Mount Carmel, where they saw Adonai, Huha Elohim, the Lord, He is God. Even earlier, Abraham, our father, realized the Lord, He is God. Okay, so I'll say the leader part at the top.
117.
Page 117. "The Lord, He is God." And you repeat, I'm sorry, I'll say, "Even earlier, Abraham, our father, realized..." You read the congregation. "The Lord, He is God." Israel, during the Exodus and at Sinai, understood. You read, "The Lord, He is God." The powerful Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar finally concluded,
"The Lord, He is God."
Yeshua HaMashiach's resurrection demonstrated,
"The Lord, He is God."
At Messiah's return, all will proclaim,
"The Lord, He is God."
Together we affirm today, Adonai Hu Ha Elohim, the Lord, He is God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have been inscribed in the book of life forever, not for 1 year. I believe everyone in this room has been inscribed. And so I'm going to give the call. Tikia Gedola. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. All right. And as we say in Jewish custom, they tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service. Thank you for the feast. Thank you for joy and laughter. Thank you that our names are inscribed in the book of life. Lord, we thank you that we saw salvation and mercy, that you've forgiven our sins and you've shown us mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that for this food for which we're about to partake. Lord, bless it to the nourishment of our bodies and sanctify it in Yeshua's name. I pray for each one here that they go home safely and don't eat too much. If you've been fasting, you can moderation. Go easy. And you'll get a tummy ache. Lord, just bless us. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. And Don will close with one last song after I do this. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. V'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and the Prince of Peace. Amen.
We are the children of the Lord, washed in the precious blood of Yeshua. We are the children of the Lord. Hallelujah, praise his name. Hallelujah, praise his name. We are the children of the Lord, washed in the precious blood of Yeshua. Children of the Lord, hallelujah, praise his name, hallelujah, praise his name. Come children from every land, let's praise the Lord. Let's sing a new song to him, to the one we adore. We are the children the Lord, washed in the precious blood of Yeshua. We are the children of the Lord. Hallelujah, praise his name. Hallelujah, praise his name. Go tell it to every land, Yeshua saves. His word brings life to the dead. They arise from their graves. Come on, everybody, sing together. We are the children of the Lord, washed in the precious blood of Yeshua. We are the children of the Lord. Hallelujah, praise his name. Hallelujah, praise his name. Hallelujah, praise his name. Hallelujah. Go tell it on the mountains that his word brings life from the dead and we will arise from our graves. Hallelujah.
So much we can read about through the pages of Scripture.